quack, 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 quack,
welcome back to Defy the Mighty Ducks, the podcast where we are discussing the 1996 Disney hockey sequel, D3 the Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host, Blake, and let me bring on another all-star guest this season, Kurt Hoffman. Kurt, how you doing?
Doing good, Blake, as always. I made the hat trick, third of the series. Yes. Glad to be back. Glad you brought me back, and what comes after this? Are we going to do the animated series starring, I think, Jim?
You know, I was joking about it on the last show that I'm definitely not doing the series. The new series is coming out. I'm definitely not doing that. Animated one, I might be saving that for a con. I might save that for a con because I might save that. It'll be for MMX Philly next year. I might save it for that if we do it. If the MMX Philly happens this year. So, people listening, I'm saying this not knowing if we're actually doing MMX Philly this year. I know last year I was saying that a lot, and then it canceled right in the middle of the episode being aired. So I just wanted to throw that out there. We're still in the middle of the pandemic as we're recording this. So when I say MMX Philly, that's why. So, yeah, our convention last year got moved virtually back in August. So anyway. Let's talk about D3, the Mighty Ducks. We are here, and what's your history with this movie, your thoughts on this movie? Because this is a difficult one for people. A lot of people haven't seen this one.
I do remember seeing this. It was a nice blast from the past going back and rewatching it. And, when I was looking up the cast, and I don't know if you guys talked about this over the last couple of the series, but I found out, wait, that guy looks so familiar, and I looked him up, and I'm like, holy crap, that's Foggy Nelson from the Netflix Daredevil show.
Yeah, we went through that last season. A lot of people kept pointing that out. It was crazy. So,
it finally hit me like a brick. I'm like, wait, I know that guy. Oh, my God.
Well, what's funny, every time I have a female on, that's the Pacey from Dawson's Creek. That happens all the time.
So, my fiance caught that. I did not personally guess that one.
I'm a Dawson Creek fan, so I do have a Pacey winner Funko on my desk. No. So
nice. Oh, don't get me started on Funkos. We could take a digital tour right now if you want.
If I was on my phone. I'm not in my regular room. I'm in the our impromptu pandemic office. I'm not in my office. So I'm in a different room today for the season. So there will be many Ducks Funkos, by the way, soon.
Oh, they are?
I'm waiting for them. They're coming out this year. I'm not sure when, but sometime this year there will be many Ducks Funkos.
Oh man, do I finally get an Emilio Estevez Funko?
It sounds like there might be one. It sounds like Charlie Bombay, Goldberg, there's a few of them.
My only opportunity for Emilio Estevez would be either this or hopefully maybe Young Guns.
I have a feeling they'd be tied into the TV show. That's probably why they're waiting to release them. They're probably going to tie them up the show.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how something Funko would do. But yeah, back to this movie we're in here. Well, I find fun going back to this movie. I haven't watched this one in a while, but I remember being so hyped up for the movie when it came out. I was so jacked for it. And I don't know. I don't know what it is going back. It's a weird movie going back. It's a weird one.
I mean, I've always been a fan of the Mighty Duck movies. So, third one I just drank it in. I'm like, hell, make three more. Why not? So, yeah, it was a blast for me. It was a pretty good important part of my childhood. I remember getting a lot of enjoyment out of the Mighty Duck movies.
Fair enough. Well, here we are. Everyone is older. Oddly older for the fact it's only 2 years later. That's what we laughed at everybody, dude. That's the weirdest part about this. It's only 2 years. And puberty has hit both of our heads. Everybody looks so different. Right. I have the screen up here, and it's so funny how different everyone looks.
Oh, very much.
Yeah, everyone grew up in 2 years. We haven't even gotten to Charlie yet. Look at the little person. It was the last time we saw him. But we'll get to him in a couple of minutes. We start off at the school. We're at Eden Academy, which we talked about in the last episode, not a real school. And I still don't know what it was based on. I'd love to know if someone could tell me what it was based on. I have no idea. So
Eden, you know, made them make it want to sound more like a retreat than anything else. Like, oh, we sent the kids to Eden. They're in Eden.
I just find it funny that they're on scholarship. This high school.
Like, yeah, I was so confused. I'm like, so what is this? Like, boarding school, college, trade school? I couldn't tell what the hell's going on. And how they
just made it very clear it's high school. It's definitely high school. But I don't understand what you need a scholarship to go to high school. Like, I'm still not comprehending this part. Like, I don't.
And also, why they needed a press conference to get into high school? Like,
I'll let them have that one, mainly because they were famous hockey players.
Hockey players,
they're Team USA. Like, I can totally believe that. I can see ESPN making that into like a 1 hour special. Like, I can totally believe that.
Right, I can see the remake movie of that junior hockey team, maybe also with Kurt Russell playing as the coach.
Yeah, like, I totally believe that, you know, like 100%. But now we're at the school, now they're just being teenagers. But I like the fact that everybody's name is gonna come back to me, but I still call King Thompson to this day. But I do love the fact that he's like, my dad said I better stay on scholarship or whip my butt. Wow, what an honest statement.
I was going to say, it's like, no, for real. No, he probably would. Yes.
Yeah, that is a weird joke to open up the scheme. Literally, this is the first bit of dialogue we're getting into. This is literally the first dialogue, like real dialogue that we're getting.
Disney diving deep into that child abuse humor, apparently. Like, what the...
And it's not the first time. It's not the only time. We'll get this a lot as the movie continues. Like, this is a running gag for the whole movie. Like, weird how many times we go through the same conversation.
Yeah, I'm talking about subject material that would not be running gags in future movies. Like,
no.
No way in hell.
You're in the 90s. In the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, we're talking about the new coach. And I was going to make a note for people, the timeline here, it is 96. I'm going to say they filmed the movie in 95, so we're 96 when it aired. The Minnesota North Stars had just moved to Dallas about a year and a half before this. Mm. So it's still fresh. It's still fresh in everybody's minds in Minnesota that the North Stars are still a thing. So this, the timeline reasons, it does work if they're still calling them the Minnesota North Stars. I'm having issues with the got suspended for punching out his own coach. What?
Yeah. I'm sorry, but if you knocked out your own coach and like in years later the kids are trying to remember who that guy was, like no, if a dude knocked out his coach in the middle of the ice in the NHL game, he would be remembered for a very long time. There would be no forgetting that man. Like, oh, so and so. Yeah,
he decked his coach out suspended. The middle. He would have been thrown out of the league. Like, that's not a suspension. Yeah. Like, who's that thing?
Yes.
No problem with that.
Yeah, there'd be no mistake. Like, oh, I know exactly who that crazy bastard is. Now he's going to be our coach. Great. Well, we're done.
Especially if he played for the team. It's only been a year and a half old. Like, it's not that long ago. Like, he played for the team. It's here. So, if there was, like, for instance, the first thing I'm thinking of, I remember there was a Vancouver player that got thrown out of the NHL for hitting somebody in the head with a stick. I don't remember the name, but I remember the visual. It was in Vancouver. I remember the visual. I can't remember his name. But it's also been like 20 years. So, like, that's different. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
this is literally a year and a half ago. You remember his name.
Yes, a year and a half ago, if you knock out your coach, apparently you get to watch over children after that.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get there. But also, they heard he punched out a fan, which is just funny. That's funny. But then they go into this whole thing about Moodyism. I was like, where did this come from? Like, what? Why did this come
I'm like, what rumor mill did you dive into? We're talking about this man knocking out a coach, trashing a fan in the stands, and now he's a hippie. Like, what? Wait, what? What?
No, because this is who I am. I had to look this up to see how accurate this was. So they bring up Kung Fu, and you were right, he is a traveling monk, not a Buddhist. So that's clarified. But they bring up Richard Gere, which I have a whole thing on here. Richard Gere was raised a Methodist. His interest in Buddhism began when he was in his 20s. He then met the 14th Dalai Lama in India and began practicing Buddhism then.
Oh.
So to there you go. That's where that comes from.
Very nice, very nice. And then they mentioned the return of Kung Fu.
That's not a show. That's not a real show. I looked it up.
Yes, not only is it a real show, I remember this factoid. The guy that plays as Kane's son, I think is the main character. I believe he was played by the same guy who voice acted Gambit in our favorite X-Men cartoon series in the early 90s.
Okay, then.
That's right. Knowledge that
very nice.
Serves
very
no nice. Use, but it's
very nice. Cool. Very nice. You sound like me watching Jeopardy the other day where I'm like, oh, my recent music college has come in handy watching Jeopardy.
Yes.
Who would be the other night? So I looked up the original Kung Fu, and it was 1973, 1976.
Hmm.
Which is weird. The fact you're talking about a show from the 70s. They're teenagers. I think it's weird.
You know what? No, I understand this one completely. Because it'd be like, you know, back, you know, my dad always watching TV. There's only, you know, two TVs. One actually has cable on it. The other one upstairs just has a Super Nintendo plugged into it. So, you know, I can tell you all about the Three Stooges or the Beverly Hillbillies or Gunsmoke.
Okay, fair enough. I feel like I'm sitting here talking about MeTV.
Yes, MeTV. Yes.
It's referenced, it says, The Further Adventures of the New Kung Fu. I looked up The Further Adventures of the New Kung Fu. That is not a real title. I think they just made that title up for this. But you're saying there is a new Kung Fu series, so it's a different title. Joe, they brought up.
This is a lawsuit-friendly, non-lawsuit-friendly title of some sort, maybe.
Exactly. And Dwayne does pull out that you watch too much TV. Shoot, I have to save this thing to do in my hood. What are we doing? Like, we're addressing black violence in the middle of this movie, like, the beginning of this movie for no reason. We're just addressing this.
Apparently Disney has some issues they want to flesh out in cinematic form with children.
I know, like, where did all this come from? Like, it's only addressed here. Like, we don't talk about it again.
Yeah, apparently it just turned into like an episode of The Wire.
Okay, so that's that. Let's move on. And we catch up with Charlie and his mom. We haven't seen Charlie's mom since the end of the first movie. So here she is. She wasn't in the last movie, which is weird. Because someone's saying for 10 minutes there, yet she wasn't in the movie. I still can't comprehend that. And here's Charlie looking like his most paciest in the world right now. Because this is about a year before he's on Dawson's Creek. So about a year and a half before then. Dawson's Creek started in 1998. And this is 1996, so we're almost there. He's almost taking his full form. But I love the fact that no matter what happens, they're still getting hit with pucks from Bolton.
Yes. They keep that one going.
Yeah. It's 3 years.
He's like, can you stop shooting them out in the road? Just turn around and shoot them in the alley? And no. No.
This just doesn't look like it's not fun.
Right.
Doing this for so long. Okay, I want to make it up. So, Charlie gets out of the car. He has this nice button-down shirt on for his mom. He goes up the bolt and takes the shirt off. He's wearing his duck jersey. How did she not know he did this? She's not aware of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be pretty – it's got to be rather uncomfortable. I mean, you got the big fluffy jersey on, right? And then right. You throw a dress shirt on over that. Like, that should be very obvious and also pretty uncomfortable at the same time.
Yeah, and it's not like it's a normal color. It's green. It's the old school Ducks jersey. Like, it's green. Which, it's just like, it's so obvious something he did. But whatever. whatever. It's funny for the rest of the next like 6-7 minutes of this movie. So, which at the end of the day, he did. Knowing what's about to happen in the next few minutes, he doesn't ruin a nice shirt, which is always a good thing. So,
yes.
So we found out Portman's staying in Chicago. We'll get back to that later. We'll get back to that later. That's not important right now. We're just going to talk about why Portman is here now. I do like the fact that he starts going on this whole tangent of how he may be, he's the Bash Man, but he's only one Bash brother. Like, why do you need a nickname?
And the man's got to sell some merch. All right. Here's what they don't show you.
You're in high school.
That's right. That's right. What they don't show you, though, is that he always has a merch table set up during the games.
That's what the case is for. You hit the pucks into.
Yes. Yeah, just like an indie wrestler, he's got his old merch all set up, you know, and in between periods, he's always going out there. Gotta make that money.
Love it. I love it. So then, I'm just using the logic here. So he shoots the puck out, and he hits Goldberg in the head? What? Logic did not track to me at all. Like, every other movie, if somebody gets hit in the head with a puck, they're knocked out. But in this movie, it's like, oh, whatever, ow. Hurt.
Yeah. Like, oh, that stings when you slap shot that 150-mile-an-hour freaking rocket into my face. But it stings.
So it starts the Goldberg complaining about being shot at, which is hysterical to me. He's the goaltender that he's still being complained about being shot at, which is ironic. Knowing what happens later in the movie, we'll get to that later. I just need to know, did Charlie do the research on this school that he knows this is a preppy school? Like, did he do research? Like, was there a catalog? Or, like, was there something else? Because there's no internet, like, really. Yeah, at this time, there's not, like, heavy internet like there is now. But like, did he get, like, a catalog? Like, he knows they're all preppy? Was there a tour? Like,
at the very least, you hear the name of the school. Oh, I'm going to the school. What is this school? That would be the very first question. Maybe some research to happen, you know, shortly thereafter. So this
right. is
very odd for it to be a surprise. Like, wait, where am I? Oh, I didn't see this coming.
Well, we cut for the next like rest of these 5 minutes, we're gonna be cutting back and forth between the school and that. We cut back. Why is Dwayne wearing his hat? Like, why is he wearing his hat at this assembly? Why are they letting him do that? Everyone else is like all proper. He's wearing a cowboy hat. Like,
yeah. He stands out just a smidge. Just a smidge.
And he's like the politest person here. Like, he's the most polite person in the entire room.
Very much.
By the way, so gross now in the COVID era to have gum put in somebody's hand. By the way, that's so gross now.
I know. I skeezed out a little bit more than I used to. I'm looking at that like, super spreader, super spreader.
This whole area is a super spreader.
Right. Like a cowboy man, put that bandana over your mouth and run.
Oh my god. So we meet the varsity squad. We'll get into them later. But they're a bunch of douchebags. They really are. They're just mean.
The front man looks like he's Christian Bale. The guy looks like he's Christian Bale. And like his other guy, like they're supposed to be high schoolers or seniors, right?
I think they're supposed to be a senior. They're varsity. So like junior, senior is. And I guess they're supposed to be freshmen. The Ducks are supposed to be freshmen.
They're freshmen and they look like they're 25. And like, the guy
it's weird. Maybe I'm coming from the person that like it's like I didn't hit my like massive like growth spurt until sophomore year of high school. So like I didn't have that growth spurt until then. So I was still like the normal thing. It's funny when you look at my pictures. My wife did not believe me until I showed her pictures. I'm like, here's me in ninth grade football. I'm a normal size person. Here's me junior year. Boom.
Woke up the next morning, you banged your head off the ceiling. Oh, what the hell?
Pictures are hysterical from freshman to junior. They're so freaking funny. I definitely make a note. I have the captions on here so we can keep track of the dialogue. And we cut back to the Ducks. And first it says Ducks laughing, which is funny to me. But over here it says kids quacking. And then it says Duck. Averman, where are you taking us? What the thing you know who was talking? Subtitle person. Ay, ay, ay. So apparently, Averman knows the shortcut. We're still going with Cake Eater as a nickname, which is hysterical to me. That's still a thing. And How does Goober not know how to skate? Like, come on!
I'm convinced before every movie, they hit his character with, like, the Men in Black memory eraser thing. He forgets everything.
I understand you're a goaltender, and you don't do all the skating drills. I completely get that. As someone who was a linesman, and we didn't do as much drills as, like, the wide receivers. Or, like, we didn't do that. We didn't need to. But still, right. You remember the basics. And skating to the school is basic.
you have to eventually go out on the ice in order to do any type of practicing, which means you need to skate.
Like, you just have to know how to skate. To the goal. You have to skate that far.
Yes. It's insane how he just all of a sudden forget. I'm like, why are you even on the team if you just keep forgetting everything? If it was a professional player.
And he's the only one. And he's the only one. Yes.
Like, they don't want to teach kids to value and learning, like, don't get caught from a team. Remember how to do stuff.
Here we go. So he goes down some stairs. Charlie's following him. This is such a ridiculous stunt scene. And there's no reason for this except for this is hysterical. Like, so Cobra goes down the stairs, crashes into some lady, and then now Charlie's covered in eggs, which is weird. Fine, but go with it. So we keep going down and they're being chased by lemons or oranges or something. I'm not sure what they're being chased by. And then I'm trying to figure out how he can't see Charlie, but he's going backwards and he's looking straight at him, but he keeps yelling, "Charlie, where are you?"
There's so much weird ridiculousness going on in the scene. Like, they went forward a bit too much in terms of odd cuts and situations that are, I mean, I guess easier to comprehend when I first saw the movie, but now I'm just like, okay, history doesn't favor this scene too well. It's a little silly.
As adults looking at this, it's weird. Because now, I just paused it, where Goldberg's now covered in a sheet that he just ran through, the sheet hanging up randomly. He's run through the sheet. And now he has a sheet covering him. Now, somebody needs to explain the word dog comes through and why the dog goes after the sheet. Like, I don't quite understand that. That was weird.
And they had to make it a pit bull, too. I'm like, wait. Somebody's got some animosity towards pit bulls. That could have been a Doberman. That could have been a
Chihuahua. Well, then they couldn't use the Cujo. Then they couldn't use the Cujo joke. So they're chasing. And the whole gag of him, the dog pulling the sheet off and then being blinded by the sheet. Like, what the? What's happening here?
Yeah.
I do love the jump that Charlie makes, and then he gets caught, and then, okay. This is ridiculous. Goldberg gets caught on a hose. Goldberg gets caught on a hose.
Which, they show, like, the hose is kind of coiled up into a circular pattern, and he somehow, like, in order to get your foot in the hose, you need to lift up your leg and then put it down. And then somehow he manages to do that and get the entire hose up, like, the length of his leg. Like, there's a lot of stuff I need to swallow on that one. That's very odd.
And he's soaking down Charlie. But I do love Charlie. I'm like, put the hose down. The hose is tangled in his leg. So
yes.
It's like...
Yes, the hose is down. It's just stuck to me.
What's impressive about this though, he doesn't know how to skate, quote unquote. But he's skating while wrapped up in a hose, and then he just spins on water. Like, what are we doing? What's happening?
Yes. And this whole, like, felt like 20 minutes of him falling on skates, like... Like, are they skating in San Francisco, like, all the hills? You know, this seems like they've been going downhill now.
We're in Minnesota. Like, this whole thing is based in Minnesota, which is weird. I don't even know where we're basing this. We're running through a neighborhood, apparently running through clotheslines and jumping, messing with dogs and all this kind of stuff. So, like, so we come back to the school. And apparently the school opened in 1903. Sure, let's go with that. So weird. I do love the fact it takes great pride in it. It's illustrious tradition of excellence. They're all sitting there. It's all good. You reference the coming millennium, which is funny to me now, because what really changed in 2000 compared to 1996 at this point. But then you have to have this joke is for this literal joke is for the kids. When Dwayne asks what he said, and the response was something about a shrinking sphincter.
and poor cowboy's like, oh, that makes sense.
And Russ like, and Joey are laughing at each other.
Like, yeah, like there was this. It was God. Wait, they really did not like this cowboy character in this movie.
No. Later in the movie, we'll get to the really over the top, cowboy stuff. Cowboy shit, as we say in AEW, cowboy shit. We'll get to that later.
To back it up a little bit, though, the introduction of Christian Bale and his mid-20s gang. He was explaining to the kids about how his brother was supposed to be on the JV hockey team, but since they brought you yo-yos in here, now he can't be able to go on the team. And I'm like, am I supposed to hate this guy for this? I mean, it seems like he's kind of got a point there.
Yes.
I'm like, I can't hate this guy. They screwed over his brother. They just brought in this other hockey team. And why do they need a second hockey team? They already have a hockey team.
I haven't watched the full movie since. I've been breaking down for this. I really wasn't fully watching the movie when I broke it down. So I think I'll go through this. I'm really watching it for the first time in a long time. And hopefully it gets explained. Like, what's a big deal about bringing the kids in? Like, why is this such a big deal? Like, I don't get it. Like, why are we doing this?
It's crazy. Like, I don't know. I had a very hard time trying to hate this guy because his cause and goals kind of make sense. Like, these kids just showed up out of nowhere and started taking spots away from other kids in the school. Like, I don't know.
Exactly. So we come back to Charlie and Goldberg, and now they're in the middle of the street. Just randomly in the middle of the street. And they're being chased down by cars. I do love Goldberg's narration, though, as he's yelling everything in front of him the entire time. He's not paying attention. He's going to tell you what we're seeing.
Yes, they should have kept the bit going and pay, you know, come back to them, and there's like the pyramids in the background, and it was like also now they're in the Arctic, and there's a bunch of huskies and a sleigh going by them, you know.
I do love the fact that if this was like an animated show, that totally would have been there. Like, this totally would have been there. This is like an very animated true. Show. Very true. Oh man, that's a very, very funny visual. So then, I really thought that at one point Goldberg was going to drive on the back of one of these vehicles, like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future. I really thought he was going to do that at one point. We didn't do that. We do get another. It seems to be in every single movie, we have to at least have one shot of Charlie jumping over a vehicle. This has been in every movie. We had to do it one more time.
God, the freaking vertical. Like, wait, why hockey? This kid should have easily been like a top-tier basketball star.
Or even track and field.
Any of that, the vault over a freaking car like that, kid, who cares about the wrist shot? Come on, let's give that kid a basketball.
Yeah, like, it's impressive. Like, every movie, every single time you get one Charlie jump. Once. So then he finally catches Goldberg after this ridiculous chase scene. Insane chase scene. And they're heading for a truck, apparently. They scream, and they are apparently down at a bridge, and then they jump, and then that's where we end our minutes, jumping for their lives over a bridge.
Yes, and then very much you can tell they couldn't find any stunt actor to quite match the girth of Goldberg, so you can clearly see this dude with skinny legs and some extra padding underneath, all stuffed underneath his shirt, jumping over the friggin' wall like a Mountain Dew commercial.
That is really funny. That is very, very funny. But yeah, you can see that. You can tell it's obviously a stunt double just by the angle.
They should have had that scene go that slow. Like, I was really breaking it down. Like, oh, you gotta speed that scene up, guys. I'm totally looking right through this thing.
Yeah, well, it's the 90s. They don't think people are going to go back and watch this stuff so closely. That seems to be a jab. I've noticed that on 90s movies on minute shows. That's the thing we have to worry about. They didn't think about it at the time. They were going to go back and like zoom in on things. Like, what are we looking at? So that is our end of our five. This was fun. But watching Goldberg and Charlie chase around the city of Minnesota is just so
chilling. Like, and Charlie's all beat the hell. Looks like he went through a freaking coal mine. He's all dirty. His jersey's all beat to hell. Like, he's just chasing a dude falling down a hill skating. Like, what the hell?
Well, he got hit by eggs. He got chased by a dog. He got hit by a hose. He's sweating probably from all the from chasing Goldberg and running through everything and all the jumping and everything else he did.
This almost reminds me of like the over the topness of the intros of all the Naked Gun movies.
Oh, it's accurate. That's extremely accurate. That's very funny. Oh man, so that is that. I'll ask you. You've watched this movie in full in a while, and what are your thoughts on the movie overall?
It's not too bad. I mean, there are some stuff where I'm like, well, maybe it could have been done better a couple movies ago. Maybe they don't quite have the same writers as they did before, but all in all, you know, it was good old childhood clean fun, and needed more Emilio.
Yeah, I agree. It's a weird movie because Emilio is literally the top credit, and not in half the movie.
What?
I don't get it.
Is that like part of the agreement? Like Emilio probably had to take a pay cut because I only needed him for like 30% of the time that he's been in the other movies.
But he's literally the first name in the credits. He's literally the first name.
Right. Yeah. Maybe it's in order of appearance.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm actually looking at my notes from the last show, and he was literally the first name on the credits. It says Emilio Estevez in D3 The Mighty Ducks, and then it goes to the rest of the cast. It's no sad.
Wow, I want that man's agent.
Seriously. And the fact that he's back for the new series is even funnier, actually.
Come on. I gotta watch a preview for this thing. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, it's Emilio Estevez and Lauren Graham. If anyone wants to see the trailer, go to the D5 The Mighty Ducks Facebook page. It is up there. I put the video up there. You can go watch that trailer if you haven't seen it yet. It dropped during the Disney investment call at the end of the year. So
that was a big call.
Yeah, it was buried in that call. So if you guys said it is up on the D5 The Mighty Ducks Instagram and Facebook pages. So you can see it there. So before we get to next week, I'm going to have returning to the show, Jim Anderson, who was on the show last season, and Thomas Howell, who was on the show the first season. So they're both coming back next week. So that's pretty cool. It's going to be nice to have them back. Considering the trend started last week of actually having multiple people on an episode, not just one person. We're going to have like multiple people on certain episodes. It's going to be a crazy season. So that's that. Kurt, as always, you have nothing to plug, as always.
Yep, nothing to plug here. You'll find me here, not going anywhere. Just enjoying the old pandemic. And I can't wait till we do this again next year when we'll be doing the minute by minutes of Angels in the Outfield. But Shockley is not on Disney Plus. What the hell?
Shockingly. Oh, I just remembered. There is one more thing. I will ask you this question. I ask everybody this question. What you have a crazy high school story you want to share with our audience?
I saw this coming, and I kept thinking, and then I realized apparently I had a fairly boring high school.
Fair enough.
But I remember one time though. It was some type of, what was like a recreational thing going on when all the kids were outside in the summer. And me and some buddies of mine, I borrowed my sister's squirt gun. And we like ran off towards like the soccer fields nearby the school. And we were just all shooting each other with squirt guns. And then out of nowhere, like this SUV pulls out. The principal and like a couple other faculty members get out. And they're yelling at us, drop the guns and put your hands up. Like, put your hands up. What the lady, is that a Glock? It's a super soaker, for God's sakes. So yeah, they overacted just a little. and they confiscated our squirt guns. And I remember being very pissed off because they wound up keeping my squirt gun. They never gave it back to me. Well, my sister's squirt gun. So I had to explain to her, like, sorry, the cops got me, apparently. And if you want your squirt gun, it's in the evidence locker.
Oh my God. That's insane.
And sadly, that's the best, craziest high school memory I have.
That is fantastic. Well, that's like, I was one time, I was out with my friend, and this is the strangest thing you're going to probably hear today. We were playing netless volleyball in the boys' club, in the boys and girls' club parking lot. And, like you do. Because we had a volleyball in our truck, and a meatball truck, we're playing netless volleyball. Like you do, across the street from the park. And a cop pulls up next to us thinking we were dealing drugs. We were just playing volleyball.
Wow.
It was like he had this DT and just playing volleyball and had a net in the middle of a parking lot at 9 o'clock at night. Like, I've never seen this before.
Protect and serve.
Ay. So, yeah, that, trust me, that was funny. That was good. I enjoyed that. That was funny. All right, let me get the plugs in here. First of all, as if you're on the video side or seeing the pictures on Instagram, you're seeing the brand new D5 Money Duck t-shirt available on TeePublic, and there'll be a link up so everyone can buy the brand new shirt before the end of this season. And it's a really comfortable shirt. I suggest you get it on Heather or on gray, on black. It looks better. So there you go. and then go to the Lakers Now Show every single Friday. We have not missed a week since the beginning of this pandemic. So we're going to try our best to not miss a week throughout this as well. So there you go. Every single week, Lakers Now Show. As always, follow Defied My Duck on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and I'm going to keep plugging new places you can hear the show, and this week I'm going to plug, you can go to Audible and find Defied The Mighty Ducks over on Audible. So there you go. Go search for the podcast section there, and you can listen to the show after you listen to your last book. All right. That being said, thank you, Kurt, for coming on today. This is a lot of fun, as always.
My pleasure.
And everybody listening, I'll see you all next week. Thank you all for listening. Have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.